I join in welcoming you this afternoon. Thankful for the opportunity to be with you. Again, encourage you to get your Bible and examine the things that are said in light of what the Bible teaches. The book that lays open before us today is a book of spiritual words. As Paul said, words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. No word is a part of speech until it first appears in context. I don't know what a word means until you use it in a sentence. And that's the way it is with the word world. Sometimes there are those who have difficulty reconciling the two passages that were read a moment ago, where in John 3 and verse 16, it is said, God so loved the world. And then in 1 John 2 and verse 15, John said, love not the world, that if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. How do you reconcile that? Well, different use of the word world. What I'd like for us to do is to explore how the word world appears in the book of God. From Genesis to Revelation, you'll come across the word world nearly 300 times. And it's put to use different ways depending on the context. Sometimes the word world has to do with heaven and earth, the entire universe. Remember, in the beginning, verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, it is affirmed that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Numerous passages use the word world in reference to heaven and earth. Like Psalm 89 and verse 11, where it is said, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, as for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. When Paul was at Athens in Acts chapter 17, preaching on Mars Hill, he preached to those who were given to idolatry. They had all kind of altars with inscriptions, and then they had one to the unknown God, and Paul had the task of making known to these idolatrous people the unknown God. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. In the context of eating offerings to idols, in 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 and 5, Paul penned, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. So that's just a sampling of some passages where the word world is used in reference to heaven and earth. But as you zoom in a little bit, you'll find the word world is often used in reference to the earth itself. Like in Hannah's prayer, back in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, when she was barren and she entreated the Lord for a child. 1 Samuel 2 and 8, when she talked about the Lord, she said, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's and he hath set the world upon them. You might underscore earth and world, how those are used interchangeably in Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2. When you come to the Psalms, in Psalm 24, in verse 1, it is recorded, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. The wise man talked about the fact that the earth, known as the world, had a beginning. He said, wherever the earth was, when there were no depths, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills. Did you know there was a time when there were no hills? There was a time when there were no mountains. There was a time when there were no depths, no earth. See? He talks about in verse 26, while as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. And so the word world encompasses the earth that is comprised of the depths and the mountains and the hills. Matthew chapter 4, that word is put to use in that same way when we have recorded the temptation of Jesus by the devil, and how the devil taketh Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, that is, the kingdoms of the earth, and the glory of man. Jesus used the word world in that sense in the book of Mark 16, verse 15, when giving the apostles their marching orders. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." John 13 and verse 1 talked about the Lord departing out of this world, that is, leaving the earth and returning unto the Father. As well in John chapter 16 and verse 28, in his conversation with the apostles, he said, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." The last statement made by John in his book or gospel account talks about the miracles of Jesus. We're going to talk about those soon, Lord willing. I hope in July we're going to begin a special series of studies about the miracles of Christ. And this is an interesting statement with reference to the signs or miracles that were performed by the Lord. How there were many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. You think about how vast this world is, and that the world itself, he said, couldn't even contain the books that would be written. Shows how full of a life Jesus lived, how much he did in a short period of time while here on earth or in the world. Paul in Romans 1 and verse 8 used the word world in reference to the earth itself, equivalent to far and wide, when he said, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." And so far and wide their faith was spoken of. And may that be true of the church that meets here on Margaret Drive. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, when Paul talked to Timothy about contentment, he said, "We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out." Peter, in 2 Peter 3, in discussing the day of the Lord and the termination of the earth, he talked about the earth with its inhabitants back in old time when he said, "The world that then was, being overflow with water, perished." That's 2 Peter 3:6. And so we found two ways the word world is used already: heaven and earth, the universe, and then oftentimes the earth itself. But then as you zoom in a little more, you'll find where oftentimes the word world is used in reference to the inhabitants of the earth, those who dwell on this planet. Like the psalmist back in Psalm 9, verses 7 and 8, he used the word world in denoting the people that dwell on earth. He said, "The Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness." Is he going to judge the moon? Is he going to judge the stars? Is he going to judge the mountains? Is he going to judge the hills? No, he's going to judge the people. He said, "He shall minister judgment to the people in righteousness." And so sometimes the word world is used to stand for the people of the world. Another good example of that is in Psalm 98 and in verse 9, where you have a similar statement to that which we read in Psalm 9, when the psalmist said, "Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity." As the word world sometimes denotes the people of the world, so it is with the word earth, often the inhabitants of the world. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, in what's known as the similitudes of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus likened his disciples to salt and light, he said, "Ye are the light of the world." That is, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so among the inhabitants of the world, the disciples of Christ are light. But also, in John 8 and verse 12, Jesus, in one of his famous I Am declarations, said, "I am the light of the world." And then writing the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, Paul said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2:15. We shine as lights among the people of the world, don't we? When we let our light so shine. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, in connection with the parable the Lord told about the kingdom of heaven, he said, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." And so you can appreciate that in that parable, the word world has to do with the people, the inhabitants of the world, represented by children. In Luke chapter 2 and 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. What does that mean? All the world should be taxed. He taxing the fish, taxing the coyotes? No. But the people, the inhabitants of the world, so far as the territory of Rome extended, known as the whole world. In the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 29, in John's gospel account, he talked about the fact that Jesus was seen coming unto him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's all the inhabitants of the world. That's the use that the Lord made in John 3:16 when he said, "God so loved the world, the people of the world, its inhabitants, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And in verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John 4:42. In connection with the woman at the well, when she said, "Come see a man," and they believed on him for the saying of the woman. They said, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." He going to save the planet? No, he didn't come to do that. He came to save people, to save sinners. Remember? Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." Also in John chapter 6 and verse 33, "The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." He gives life to people, to its inhabitants. Verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven," the Lord said. "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Another example where the word world is used in reference to its people. It would be in 1 Corinthians 5 when Paul wrote about the immorality that existed among the Corinthian people. How that they were not to company with fornicators. And then he said in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 5, "Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world." That is, you'd have to withdraw from human society and seek an abode outside of it. But we're not an island. We can't just withdraw ourselves from human society, you see. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 12, he talked about the need to behave oneself. He said, "Our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world." That is, among the people of the world, we've behaved ourselves. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. And Peter, in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, uses that to designate the entire number. He said, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And so oftentimes the word world has to do with the people, its inhabitants. And so you have the heaven and earth, the earth itself, the inhabitants, the people, and then as you zoom in even more, a certain segment or element of the inhabitants of the earth, the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men that are alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ, are often referred to as the world. Like in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 17, when in the conversation the Lord had with His apostles, He promised them the Spirit of truth, He said, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. And so how could they know Him, but the world not know Him? And so you see a distinction made between the ungodly multitude and those that were called out of the world, that in this case were the apostles, and were promised, ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so that promise was not made to all the inhabitants of the world. In verse 19, He said, yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more, but ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. Verse 22, Judas said, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 27, He said, peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then in verse 30, He talked about the prince of this world. All these uses of the word world have to do with the ungodly. Not talking about all the inhabitants generally, but denoting a certain segment of our society, those who are separated from God. John 15, 18 and 19, again, He said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. You see, a Christian, a child of God, doesn't have anything in common with the world. What do you mean by that? The ungodly, those who are alienated, separated from God. The Lord said they hate you. And He said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated Me before it hated you, if ye were of the world. So I said, wait a minute, I thought I was of the world. Not in this sense. No, you're not. You don't want to be of the world. You don't want to be among the ungodly. See, He said the world would love his own. You see, if you thought like they did, you talked like they did, you had the same characteristics as they did, then they would love you. That's why, like Peter said, they think it's strange. They think you're strange. As much as you think they're strange, they think you're strange. In fact, we're to be a peculiar people. We're to be different. We're to be distinct from the world, from those who are ungodly. He said, because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And sometimes that comes as a shock to some people. Here, a member of the church, one who's been called out of the world, and maybe he's in a certain position where he has to work alongside a lot of people of the world, and they see a difference in his language. They don't talk the same way. They use all kind of bad language and filth that comes out of their mouth, and he may be quiet. He may not say a whole lot. You know, the Bible says, let your words be few. They just rattle on and on, a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of foolishness. And you have to wrestle with it, right? What's the difference? Well, it's a difference in you're being called out of the world and they're being ungodly. John 15 is a good example. John 16 as well. verse 8, where when the Holy Spirit would come, He would reprove the world of sin. That's the ungodly. And in verse 11, He said of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. In the Lord's Prayer, as recorded in John 17, He often used the word world. He said in verse 14, I have given them thy word. That has to do with the apostles. And the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There's a difference. He said, verse 16, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So if you're not of the world, you're not among the ungodly. You don't speak like they do. You don't think like they do. They're going to be a distinction. And they may think ill of you. They may not like it. They may hate you. They may have a bad attitude towards you just because you're different from them. Don't let that surprise you. Verse 21, one reason that there's to be unity among us as Christians is that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Talk about the ungodly. Sometimes there are those who are ungodly, they're unbelievers, they're skeptical because of so much division in the religious world. We can help bring these folks to Christ by being united. And then verse 23 said, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. In verse 25, He said, the world hath not known thee, talking to the Father. So oftentimes, the word is used in reference to the ungodly multitude. In Ephesians 2 and 2, among other passages that could be mentioned, Paul said, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. What course is that? The course of this world. Is that a trail out here somewhere through the woods? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about in time past fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, being by nature children of wrath. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. And he said, you're not like that anymore. You don't live like that. You don't talk like that. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 38, he has to do with the multitude of ungodly people in Old Testament times. When he talked about these great people of faith, and he said, of whom the world was not worthy. You think if that could be said of men like Abraham and Noah and others, that if you live like they do, that it could be said today the world was not worthy of you? That is the ungodly. James 1:27 talks about keep himself unspotted from the world. And so you can't allow the ungodly to rub off on you, to influence you. In 2 Peter 1:4, he discussed corruption that is in the world. How's that come? Through lust. Lust of the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life. 1 John 2 and verse 16. 2 Peter 2:20 talks about escaping pollution of the world. Yeah, we got a real problem with pollution, somebody said. We've got to do something about that. Need Clean Air Act, right? All these automobiles emitting a lot of pollution. That's not what it's talking about. Pollutions of the world. That's sin. See? Pollutions of the world in 2 Peter 2:20 has to do with those who are alienated from God through sin. All is sin, Romans 3:23, and sin is the transgression of law, 1 John 3, 4. One other passage in connection with that. So many others could be mentioned. 1 John 4, 4 and 5. John said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I like that. You get to thinking, I don't know if I can take any more of this. I don't know if I can do it or not. Remember that statement. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That is, they speak in accordance with the world's character and with their mode of thinking. And so this word world often is used in reference to the ungodly. I'll tell you another way it's used. And that is, it's often used of worldly affairs. things earthly, the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, which although hollow and frail and fleeting, stir desire, seduce one from God, and serve as obstacles to the cause of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in his teaching concerning the sower that went out to sow the seed, used the word world in reference to worldly affairs. Like in Matthew 13 and verse 22, and he talked about he that receives seed among the thorns. Remember that? He said, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Jesus said in one place, my kingdom is not of this world. That is, it's not of earthly nature origin. In 1 Corinthians 7, when Paul talked about marriage, he at that time talked about it being better not to marry because of the present distress, and said in 1 Corinthians 7:33 that he who is married careth for the things that are of the world. That is, he is concerned about earthly goods and those kind of things. That's the use that John made in 1 John 2, and he said, love not the world. You see the difference? John 3:16, God so loved the world. He loved the people of the world, the inhabitants of the world. But we're not to love the world in the sense we're not to set our affection on earthly things. As Paul said in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and he defines in that text what he's talking about. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And so don't love those kind of things. They're obstacles to God's cause. As John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. One more way the word world is used is in reference to a new dwelling place, the new heavens and new earth. I often read in this book of the world to come, like in the book of Mark, chapter 10 and verse 30. We often wonder, what's going to be like in the world to come? All that can be known about that right now is what has been revealed in this book. In the book of Mark, chapter 10 and in verse 30, I do know that there is a world to come. As the Lord said, in this time, one may receive 100-fold houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions. And he said, in the world to come, eternal life. That tells me there's a difference between this time and the world to come. And eternal life is not now in this time, but eternal life is in the world to come. The Bible talks about this world and that world. In the book of Luke, chapter 20, 34 and 35, Jesus said, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Different use of the word. Same word, different place, different cosmos. New heaven and new earth is used to represent a new dwelling place. Like 2 Peter 3, when Peter talked about the fact that the Lord will come as a thief in the night, verse 10, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Those words do not allow for a restoration or purification of this world. He said, in verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. We look for a new world, new dwelling place, wherein, he says, dwelleth righteousness. And John was allowed to see that. Revelation 21, in verse 1, when he said, I saw, what did you see, John? A new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And so there's six different ways the word is put to use. in this volume by the Holy Spirit to teach us the things that we need to know. To see the big picture, you back up and realize it has to do with the heaven and earth. The whole shebang. And then sometimes just focused in on the earth itself. All the inhabitants of the world. And then a certain segment of the people, the ungodly, those who are separated from God in sin. And that's how you can realize that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We live in this beautiful place God created. Underneath the great expanse upon God's green earth. And we live among the people of the world. But we're not of the world. We're not of those who are ungodly. We're not of those who have alienated themselves from God through sin. We don't talk like they do. There's going to be a difference. They may hate us. They may have some names for us. But that doesn't change who we are. That doesn't change what we believe. That doesn't change what we do. We don't set our affection on worldly affairs. We don't allow the cares of this world to choke out the Word. No, we set our affection on things above. We lay up treasure in heaven so that one day, when this world is on fire, we can be welcomed into the new world, the new heavens, and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And won't it be wonderful there to not have any unrighteousness, not be among those who allow all kind of filth to spout from their mouth. To not be among those who work a lie. There'll be no abomination there. But all will be pure. All will be wonderful. It may be that you've not yet made your reservations for such a place. You know, the Bible talks about our inheritance is reserved in heaven, as Peter talked about in his epistles. Have you made your reservation? Have you? You do that by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I've got to make some changes in my life. Change from the things of the world. Sin. Ungodliness. To live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:12. To confess with my mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. To put Him on in baptism. I can escape the pollutions of the world. And as a child of God, worship Him in His temple, work in His vineyard until He calls me home, and to have so lived and labored that I can hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." We can help you in making your life right in any way with the Lord. Won't you come now? I'll always stand and sing the song.